I'm Cornelius Adewale from Washington State University. My talk today will focus on how do we take most of the discussion we've been having so far to farmers. How do we make that in such a way that it influences the decision making of farmers? So my project is part of a bigger project called Organic Farming Footprint. A project that focuses on developing tools that farmers could use in decision making as far as their greenhouse gas emission is concerned. So the first question is, how is organic agriculture different? The first thing there is about the regulations. One, as part from the fact that the synthetic use of nitrogen fertilizer is not allowed, they also tend to focus more on pasture-based livestock. And also, the organic operation also must maintain and improve the natural resources of the operations, including soil and water quality. Aside from the regulations, there are also some common practices that are more prevalent with organic farming systems in terms of the organic amendment, also in terms of more diverse rotations that are common to organic farming system. Also, the tillage tends to be also more often, which also have effects in terms of their carbon footprint. Sometimes also they tend to use lower energy inputs. So in general, I think there have been a lot of discussion in why we should care as far as the greenhouse gas emission from agricultural standpoint is concerned. But organic practices also, they are not immune as far as their contribution to greenhouse gas emission is concerned. So the question is, how do we communicate that to farmers in general? But right now, farmers, especially organic farmers, they don't really have tools that they could use to gauge their impact in terms of their footprint. That's the context and the overall goal of our project. So can we have a tool that will be scientifically sound and yet simple for organic farmers to measure their greenhouse gas balance and decision making in general? So that's basically what OFOOT, our project, it's all about. We want them to be able to assess their farms and input, and also give them opportunity to make decisions that reduce their carbon footprint in general. And the goal overall is to outsource these solutions in such a way that there could be more collaborations among the scientists also and the farmers in tackling this very important problem. So we want them to be able to answer questions such as, what is the carbon footprint of my farm? What are the activities that contribute most to the carbon footprint of my farm? And what changes that could be made that could be significant in terms of reducing their carbon footprint? And we are tackling this from different levels. We have case study based studies that are looking at it from agricultural systems level. We also have experiment and both field studies and models and that are also looking at it from organic farming types and also from organic cropping systems level. So today my talk will be just highlighting just one of the case studies that we use that are involved in the whole process of the whole food. So the specific objective of this study in terms of the small scale hotspots in the small scale in the carbon footprint of a small scale vegetable farm is to estimate first the carbon footprint of that farm. We also want to identify activities that contribute most to the carbon footprint of that farm. And at the end of the day, we also want to differentiate in terms of the carbon footprint associated with the typical crop in the rotation, of that farm. Like I've said earlier on, we're using a case study approach. In this way, we are collecting information about farm management, about the crop, and about matter, in terms also about their equipment. At the same time, getting more information about the weather of that particular area, and develop like the farm inventory as a whole, and also using a cropping system models to assess also what is going on in terms of the soil dynamics, which I believe it's a lot of discussion we'll be having earlier today. As far as the inventory is concerned, we're using life cycle analysis to look at the greenhouse gas that could be associated with the production of the crops in that particular farm. Like I said, then we are using as far as the soil dynamics is concerned, we're using a multi-year, multi-crop, process-oriented cropping system simulation model to look at what is going on as far as the soil dynamics is concerned. Specifically, we're using CropSist. We actually have to redevelop the CropSist models and adapt to organic farming system in the process. Although there are other studies that actually did that, not my own part. So what did we find as far as this particular farm is concerned? This farm has a 9-year rotation with 8 cash crops and 1 cover crop. After calculating the carbon footprint of all the crops there, we identified potato, pepper, and cauliflower as the main hotspot in the carbon footprint of that farm, of the crops in the rotation of that farm. Then we also look at the operational activities, which activity contribute most to the carbon footprint of this farm. In this case, we identify disking, the organic fertilizers and irrigation as the main hotspot in the carbon footprint of this very particular farm. Then we begin also to play around 3 main questions also that surround especially studies that involve life cycle assessment, like what is the basis of our reporting, what are the boundaries chosen in looking at the carbon footprint of a farm, and what are the alternative also management that could help in reducing the carbon footprint of the particular farm. In terms of the basis of reporting, for that farm we look at what if we report it based on mass or we report it based on space. Are there going to be difference in terms of the hotspot of the crops in the rotation? My earlier report about the carbon footprint of the crops was based on the mass. That's when we are reporting based on kilograms CO2 per hectare per year. But if we look at the kilogram CO2 per kilogram of fresh mass, we end up with different set of crops entirely in terms of the hotspot over there. And as you can see here, if we are reporting based on mass, we're having winter squash, dry bush beans, and cauliflower as the hotspot, rather than the potato, pepper, and cauliflower that we identify based on if we are reporting based on space. We also take one of it, at least a number of studies have been done based on onion in UK, in New Zealand, and we see that what we are finding also in this very particular farm is similar to a number of studies that are being carried out over there. So the next question is, how far do we go in terms of the boundary? Because a number of studies that involve LCA sometimes don't look at the soil emissions, which are the very important things that we'll be discussing here today. So we look at, okay, what if we look at the carbon footprint of this farm on limited boundary, and are there difference? And we see that there is significant difference between the two on how far do we go in terms of the boundary that is chosen in analyzing or in the carbon footprint of this particular farm. As far as the expanded boundary is concerned, we want to look at things that most times are glossed over, like the greenhouse of a typical small-scale farm. What about the fencing? And so many other things that are not reported in most of the studies that are used as life cycle analysis in reporting the carbon footprint of a farm. So we then model this particular farm carbon footprint. We change to, okay, what if we change to management input? What if we switch to biodiesel and solar power irrigation? Would that have significant effect in terms of the carbon footprint of the farm? And we discovered a 34% reduction in the carbon footprint of the farm by changing just those two inputs. So the goal of Whole Foods generally is actually to come up with tools that farmers could use to make decisions so that they can play with different scenarios and something that could help their decision-making process as far as reducing greenhouse gas emission is concerned. So in general, for these particular case studies, we've learned a number of things. One, fuel is a big hotspot. The same thing with energy used for irrigation. And also, organic fertilizer also still contribute immensely as far as the carbon footprint of a small vegetable organic farm is concerned. We also find out that the use of plastic-based materials, which is common with pest management in organic farms, is also an hotspot in the process. And when we zoom in, especially when we talking about the expanding boundary into the greenhouse of this particular farm, we found peat to be also an hotspot in that area. As far as the rotation is concerned also, we had identified pepper, cauliflower, and potato. So we see potential for reduction of the carbon footprint of this particular farm if there is a possibility of replacement of diesel and gasoline with biodiesel, although also that also there's some other factors also that could play into that. We also see potential if there is a possibility of optimizing or finding alternatives for the use of plastic-based materials, especially for pest management. Replacement of peat and the likes also have other areas of potential. The summary of this particular study is that functional units and boundary are key issues that need to be considered, especially when we are comparing carbon footprint of crops or carbon footprint of farms or farming systems. We also see estimation of carbon footprint as something that will be more useful in identifying hotspots and areas with biggest targets for reduction. And in this way, it will enable farmers, businesses, policymakers to innovate and focus efforts on finding viable alternatives for those hotspots. My take-home message here is that organic farming also contributes to greenhouse gas emission. An effective mitigation of greenhouse gas emission and hence global warming from agriculture should start from identifying the most significant greenhouse sources or hotspot in agricultural production system. I would like to acknowledge that this research is it's a USDA funded project. I would like to really appreciate. There are a lot of people that actually are part of the Whole Foods team, Dr. Lynn Carpenter-Box, Dr. Stuart Higgins, and Dr. David, and a host of other people that actually contribute immensely to the development of Whole Foods too. Thank you.